Good morning. Welcome to episode 28 of the Driller Newscast, a weekly update on the news and stories impacting the water well and industrial drilling industry. Episode 28 is brought to you by Wyoben Incorporated. Wyoben Inc., a privately held, family-owned business, has been providing high-quality drilling fluid products since 1951. Wyoben's knowledgeable customer service, sales, and research people bring industry-leading products and support to the marketplace. The innovative products are the result of field-driven solutions and dedication to meet the customer's goals. This week in the news, we'll cover global water sharing between India and Bangladesh. Next, we'll jump into the UN SG6 initiative along with the conference they're about to host online. Our featured industry professional is Greg Halliday, a cable tooler turned sonic driller who is now a global trainer in sonic. Our main story of the week is a discussion with Marcus Labe that I had at the South Atlantic Drilling Jubilee, where we talk about Marcus's choice to become third generation in the drilling industry, what innovations they're working on, and how much fun it is to paint these rigs like race cars. But before we get into this great content, I want to have a safety discussion on one of the most insignificant hazards that we have in the construction and drilling industry. For this week's safety topic, it's September, and we're going to talk about mental health and suicide prevention, which is the entire month of September. And this is a yearly occurrence that many organizations place special emphasis on educating their teams and understanding that prevention is what we need. And that includes us in the drilling and construction industry. However, I believe this needs to become a daily awareness. One of those things we talk about at every Monday morning tailgate talk, and as the week goes on, suicide rates of workers in construction are alarmingly high. The overall United States rate has increased to being the 10th leading cause of death since 2008. Additionally, a recent Center for Disease Control and Prevention study found during late June 2020, 40% of the U.S. adults reported struggling with mental health or substance use. And of that 40%, 11% of those adults seriously considered suicide. The construction industry has the second highest rate of suicide in the United States at 53.3 per 100,000 workers, again, according to the Center for Disease Control. That's approximately 123 suicides per day, which breaks down to one death every 12 minutes. What makes us vulnerable? We work alone. We're in isolated projects. Our industry is dependent on a sound economy. We're away from our family. We travel a lot. And then you think about everything that's just happened in the last 2 years of this crazy virus and politics and war, and it just weighs heavily on all of us. So then we start thinking about how we treat ourselves at work, and we do some damaging things to our body. And we're stressed because of time constraints and environmental conditions and the stakes of that million-dollar piece of equipment that we're running. And that causes poor sleep. So how do we adjust to that? We use alcohol and mood-altering substances to cope. In our industry, we got to break the stigma of mental illness and encourage everybody to be able to talk about it. Like I've said before, we got to become warmer and fuzzier. We can't have this secrecy and isolation no longer. all of us, colleagues, foremen, owners, driller, driller assistant, helper. You don't have to be a mental health worker to help someone. We just have to recognize the warning signs. And that's not that difficult. Start thinking about mood changes. Think about individuals becoming self-deprecating, starting to have a lack of confidence. Maybe they become reckless. They have erratic behavior, major mood swings, substance abuse. 12-pack every night in the hotel room is not appropriate. Then they become less productive. No sleep in that abuse. They start acting out. They become late to work. Or maybe they just don't show up. Brothers and sisters of the construction industry, if you find yourself struggling, know that you are not alone. Your mental illness is not your fault, nor is it anything to be ashamed of. There are ways you can get help. We have to stop thinking that we have to go at this alone. A year ago, when my father died, I went at it alone. I stuffed everything down in my guts and I marched on. Had to get back to work because I'd missed so many days not being in the field. I needed to be strong for my mother and my family. I didn't share it. I didn't share it with my wife, and it put me in a very dark place. And the only way to turn around and make myself better was to ask for help. If you find yourself struggling, talk to a doctor about treatment options. It could be talk therapy. Maybe it's medication. Those are just two possibilities. But just understand you're not alone. We just need to educate ourselves and understand that this mood swing, this rut we're in, isn't something that we have to continue on. Find the people that you love and trust and tell them what is going on in your mind. Don't bury this. These numbers are alarming, and it's something that there's only 7.6 million of us in the workforce to be the highest numbers. We have to do better. And that's about helping people. That's about finding the right information. It's about knowing that there's a national suicide prevention hotline. And since episode 5, the first time I covered this, you can call, text, or chat at 988 to reach a Lifeline trained counselor. And these professionals will help you, and they're there to help. We have social media, reach out. There's so many ways to communicate. You don't have to be alone. And this is a tough topic for us in this industry, but I think it's very important. And I know that September is the month, but for our industry, it needs to be every day. Look for the signs. And if, as I've discussed them, the signs fit you, ask for help. Be safe out there, industry. Now, on to the news. On September 6, India and Bangladesh agreed to share the waters of the Kushi-Ara Kaman River in the first such arrangement between the countries since 1996. This is a big deal. There's plenty of rivers running dry. We have a global water crisis. We have a global drought. You can see it in the Rhine and the Danube. And to see India and Bangladesh get together and figure this out, we all can do this. The agreement will benefit the southern part of the Assam state in India and the Sylhet region in Bangladesh. Indian's Prime Minister Modi stated. However, a much-anticipated agreement on another river remained at an impasse. For decades, Bangladesh has pushed for a pact on water sharing for the Teesta River, a major transboundary river that begins in India's Sikkim state and runs through the north of West Bengal state before flowing into Bangladesh. In 2011, India agreed to share water during the dry season, which is their December through March, but the deal was never finalized due to strong opposition from West Bengal. Their state's chief minister, Banerjee refused. The unresolved issue has long irritated Bangladesh, where many have been critical of Modi for not making progress on the agreement. It's a big deal, and we need to be up to date on what's going on around the world and river compacts and sharing. And if you want to get up to date on international water policy and monitoring, there is a webinar coming up this Wednesday, September 14th, by the UN Water Integrated Monitoring Initiative for the SDG 6, which is seeking to ensure safe drinking water and sanitation for all by focusing on sustainable management of water resources, wastewater ecosystems, and acknowledging the importance of enabling our environment to be sustainable. This all comes from their 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. The SDG 6 countries have committed to engage in systematic follow-up and review of progress towards the goals and targets using a set of global indicators. They will host this webinar to get information for the UN 2023 Water Conference. And this national data will be used for effective, efficient water policy. They're investing in setting the right priorities for water, and that takes credible data. And we talked about this last week with California and what's going on and the questioning of the data. And we're about to see Oregon step up and say, wait a minute, with the Klamath River, we believe California's data is off. And it's now in question of their consumption and how that should have been shared. And the whole initiative here with the SDG 6 is to get timely, incredible data so that they can make good decisions. And how does this work? They support countries who monitor progress towards these goals through a network of monitoring of focal points and national line ministries involved in water and sanitation, as well as in the national statistical offices. With this information, these people get together and play an important role in enabling evidence-based process at a national and global level. And if you want to partake in this, there are two opportunities for this webinar. They are both set in Central European summertime on Wednesday, September 14th. The first one is very early, 4 o'clock in the morning for us in the Eastern time zone. However, the second one occurs at 4 p.m. Central European summertime, which is 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Go to the UN's website, type in IMI SDG 6, look at the initiative. You can look at what our consumption is in North America. You can look at Europe. You can look at Africa. You can look at Asia. It's a big deal. This is stuff we should understand better. Take part in this webinar. For this week's industry professional, I caught up with Greg Halliday as he was tearing down a rig at the South Atlantic Drilling Jubilee. And Greg took time to talk about transitioning from a cable tool driller to some of the most sophisticated equipment being operated around the world and how he's helped train others. This is an excellent discussion. Hi, this is Brock Yorty live at the 2022 South Atlantic Drilling Jubilee. We're wrapping up. Equipment's being taken down. Show booths are coming down, but I have Greg Halliday with Igelkamp, one of their trainers, and sets it. What is your title at Igelkamp?
I'm the lead trainer. I am in sales and I work extensively with the service department. So I'm
Okay.
kind of, I hit all the stops.
And Greg has one of these awesome industry resumes of getting to work a lot of great places in a lot of different technology. And my first question to him, in being successful, what is one big lesson you've learned in this industry that we can pass on that would help others be successful?
take advantage of the information that's available to you from people who are willing to teach, and find a good work-life balance so you don't overwork yourself. And those are, I think, the two most important things.
And I just learned that Greg started on a 22W and now is a trainer on some of the most sophisticated, great new technology of Sonic and other rigs coming out. How did you make that curve from a 22W in the family business to...
When I was with Bort Longyear, I was introduced to Sonic drilling, and we had the equipment and we had the right people teaching us. And I always like to see what's around the next bend technology and drilling wise, and being in the right place at the right time with the right people and willing to learn will put you there.
What are you most excited about with this new technologies? Is it the more footage we can do? Is it the safety aspect? What just excites you about what we're able to do today in the 21st century?
More footage or equal footage. The days of the sore back and the broken hand or the hand injuries are coming to an end. So people who are getting into it now and getting their education now are coming into a completely different world. And working for Eichel Camp and working a lot with Frosty, I think that we're on the cutting edge of the tool handling, the machinery, the engineering that we have, and the support that we have to bring out into the field and to the other people and to introduce them to it.
And this technology is proven now. It's not like we've had Sonic for a couple years. We're going on almost 30 years of Sonic?
30 or 40 years, yep. But it's what we're able to do with the tooling handling. You know, the days of picking up a 300-pound piece of casing and stabbing it on the head is over. Metal splinters in the fingers, it's over. Sore backs, it's over. You feel better at the end of the day.
I love it.
Yeah, and when you go home, you feel better. And you can do more chores.
If you're out in the field and you're at a show or something and you see Greg, take some time and learn some awesome knowledge from this man. And he is truly on the cutting edge of this stuff. And that's what we need. We need to go from pilots that used to be bi-wing pilots to, you know, astronauts. And when we look at the controls and technologies and the safety aspects, we can do that as this industry.
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
We do it every day.
For our main story, we're going to sit down with Marcus Labe of the South Atlantic Drilling Jubilee to talk about being third generation in the industry and innovation in drill rigs. I hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Brock Yorty. We're live at the 2022 Drilling Jubilee. You may hear this guy in the background that's screaming about tickets, but we're here to talk about drill rigs, third generation, and a privately owned rig manufacturer who is kicking butt. And I got Marcus Labe with me, third generation of the Labe family. And my first question before we get into equipment, Marcus, you could have done anything you wanted, doctor, lawyer, you know, family's got a rig manufacturing company. You could go and do that or something else. Why did you stay?
Sure, no, absolutely. Fortunately, my dad got me involved really young, but he never pushed that on me, which is nice. So it was really kind of natural to be around the facilities. I always liked equipment. I like cars. I like any machinery. And really, what a great opportunity, too, to be in a family business. You know, there is other jobs that you could do, but I don't know. He was really good at not forcing it on me. I didn't feel like I had to do it. And just being around it, I've always liked our employees. We just have a good family environment around there. And it just was fun, you know. And then I'd come to the shows and, you know, I feel like we have top-notch equipment. And to hear that from customers and have that respect and kind of camaraderie and see the equipment evolve, it was just kind of a natural thing. It was fun. I really like the sales side of it. I like talking to people. I like getting questions and feedback. And I enjoy the engineering side of it. I'm not an engineer at all, but I like being involved in that and the ideas and being like, hey, somebody mentioned this, can we do it? And it just gradually became fun, and I'm so glad I stayed in it, and it's fun to be involved in every aspect of it as well, and not just be another employee or another lawyer or another doctor, which we need plenty of those, but great opportunity. Excited, water well industry is hopefully, you know, it's going to be here forever. We need water. So that's it.
So with continuous innovation is one of the things that I see come out of VersaDrill. Mm-hmm. What are you excited about with the future? What's going on?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of avenues to go there, and I'm curious what is going to happen, especially with the trucks and emissions. You know, I don't know if, you know, as much as we don't like to talk about electronics in our industry, I think, you know, whether electric power, what's going to happen there, you know, with this movement for electric vehicles, you know, that's pretty far out. I don't think it's very realistic yet with the mobile and where they're at, but really that avenue, or just the technology that's come out. Like, for instance, as something as simple as leveling your rig, a bubble level has always been the way to do it, and there's so much room for error there. And now we're integrating into a screen on the rig itself, where it tells you, it's like the iPhone, you know, how that works?
Sure.
It's using an inclinometer that's in the center of the derrick, and it tells you exactly how level you are. I mean, you couldn't be any more perfect than that.
Where did that come from?
Well, what's really awesome is one time this guy came in to sell me these products, and he was working for another company, and I was like, do you want a job? And he ended up working for us, and he just is heavy into electronics, and he, you know, I don't know, we just spitball ideas sometimes, and I'm like, you know, the bubble levels are kind of bad, is there anything? And he's like, yeah, I mean, every iPhone has an inclinometer in it, super cheap technology, very fail safe, and now, you know, it's actually centered in the very middle of the derrick, which is actually the point you want to be, not have a level over here on the console or over here. And so it's neat because on the screen now this little dot pops up, and that is your level, and it'll move, and it's just so something that little that we can innovate and make the rigs that much more level is perfect. So our V12 already has it, and then starting at the end of this year, all the new 140s and 125s will have it, and then we'll have it on the Mark 70 here in no time.
Okay. So, what else are you excited about?
In general, just where the market's going. I mean, with geothermal, with a lot of these businesses now, even the water well businesses, they're evolving, and it's fun. These next generation drillers are exciting. They love their equipment. We're doing all these wild colors. I like painting the rigs different colors. You know, yeah. It used to be kind of like, I don't care, whatever color, it's just got to drill, and I agree. But, you know, this year we've done blues, we've done greens, we've done yellows, and it's fun to see. It's like pride in the machinery, not that nobody did before, but to have a rig with these polished parts on it and this great paint job and, you know, the graphics that they want to have now where they're chrome graphics and just beautiful rigs, and it's exciting. It's like a car show or it's like a truck show every time, and just being allowed to do the innovation, like as simple as that, the jacks or, you know, all kinds of different ideas we're trying to do. We're getting rid of normal gauges because those gauges break, and it's all digital now, and it's highly accurate information. And even now we've been testing on a few rigs in the field where we have satellite connection to them, where they could see what their employees are doing with RPMs and where the rig's at and where they're running, and
wow.
They could see it on their iPhone. You know, back at when maybe they're in Michigan and the rig's in California, and they could get all that data. So and again, it's nothing to be scared of, because really we're kind of the last field to use it. So it's stuff that's been proven by other industries and the farming industry for forever, you know, or not forever, but I mean, they've been using it for the last 10, 20 years. And so we're just adapting to it. And it's exciting. It's fun.
It's ironic because as we film right now, we have several digital SLRs and prosumer cameras, and this is all being done on an iPhone 13. So you look at the innovation, and the wild colors are cool. This truck here, we'll grab a photo of it. Mm-hmm. It's got a custom dark gray cab. And in a day right now where trucks are not easy to see that a customer wanted.
Oh yeah.
That rig is sharp.
He wanted it to match his Dodge Demon. You know, he's a car guy. So we said, let's paint it. So we custom painted it that Destroyer gray color with the vermilion red, and it's a beautiful rig.
The Labe family, the Versadrill team has always been car people.
Yeah.
From they're in Indianapolis. I mean, the Speedway's there, but when I was down there and had some time to work with them in the military stuff we were doing, always a fun muscle car something.
Yes. Oh, yes, we like it. So we like our equipment to look good, like the cars. So.
Yeah. It excites us. It inspires that next generation.
It really does, yeah. When you see what they're doing, and, we want to be the best. We want to build the best equipment. That's our goal, and that's what we're after. So watch out, other manufacturers.
So. Thank you for your time.
For sure. Thanks, Brock. Buddy. Appreciate it.
I want to thank you for joining episode 28 of the Driller Newscast. Check out thedriller.com for the latest content and equipment and innovations. I want to thank Wild Ben for helping us bring the news this week. While Ben's knowledgeable customer service, sales, and research people bring industry-leading products and support to the marketplace. The innovative products are the results of field-driven solutions and dedications to the customer goals. They just had a product spotlight on Flowmaster LV, which helps with filtration control, clay inhibition, preventing bitballing. It works in solids control. It's a great product. Check it out. We need to be very aware of suicide prevention 365 days a year, especially as we get into the holidays and things become lonelier, and for all of the stresses throughout the world that are weighing on our people. Huge thanks to Greg Holiday and his discussion on, working smarter, not harder. That falls right back into us treating our bodies appropriately. And thanks to Marcus Labe for talking to us about some rig innovations, pulling the curtain back on what they're doing. Have a great week.